hopefully everyone does hear me well. Mom, I will try my best to speak slowly and clearly. The topic that I wish to bring before you this evening is too familiar with Jesus to know Christ. Too familiar with Jesus to know Christ. It may seem like a strange topic, but I've been having conversations with people, and it just continues to amaze me on one hand, but on the other hand, it doesn't. Those who say that they know Jesus or those who say that they know Christ, but I hear a little more about their lives, and it just seems like words just come from their mouth, and there's no reality in action. There's no reality in submitting to the will of God. So as I was thinking, I'm praying, I was like, Lord, even if this is not the message you want me to give, let it at least be something that will make us think and be careful with how we say that we know you. So I'll repeat this again, and then I'll go further on into this lesson. Too familiar to know Christ. You know what? When I was younger, I met a few famous people, and these are not famous people that necessarily are known maybe to the whole United States, but they were famous locally. So I'm going to drop a few names, and I'm not going to speak much about them per se, but I'm going to drop a few names. The local people that I met when I was younger, I used to be into wrestling. I liked watching it with my family, and every Saturday it was like we would spend time watching wrestling. And so one time I had an opportunity to actually go to a place we have called the Georgia Mountain Center, and I saw the wrestlers. There were several, but one that stood out to me was Tommy Rich. His name was Tommy Wildfire Rich, and I remember he was walking by us one time, and I just stuck my hand out, and I patted him on the shoulder. I don't think he knew that I patted him at all. Another famous person I met when I was in going to school, I think I was probably about 18 or 19 or something, and her name was Monica Kaufman. I even got her autograph, and I was just like, I got a famous person's autograph. Can't tell you right now where that autograph is, but this person on the news and giving out information, telling us, you know, what was happening down in Atlanta and so forth. Well, a little bit later on, I met a famous author, and she's a black author. Her name was Nikki Giovanni. I haven't even read any of her books, but I went to hear this lady speak. It's like, well, I'm meeting a few people. Later on, I got, actually when I was a little younger, I got an autographed photo from Sylvester Stallone. Never met him, but I remember I was in the eighth grade, and I got that picture, and it looked like he actually wrote it. Somebody wrote it. I just took for granted that it was him. And I was like, I got this picture. I put this picture up in my room, and I think I left that thing up about 2 or 3 years. Didn't mean that much to me, but I put it up. Another time, I was in California, and I was on the bus taking a tour. And though I didn't walk in, over the stars and see the names of those people, I saw the stars from the bus. Those stars did not do a single thing for me. But it was something to me. It's like, well, I saw the stars. And out of all of these people that I've mentioned, not a single one of them did a thing for me. I could even imagine possibly that some of you who are actually listening to me right now, you probably met some famous people. And I'm wondering, did any of those people do anything for you? You say, well, how is this going to tie in? My title for this was Too Familiar with Jesus to Know Christ. And the thing is that sometimes just because we come to Jesus, or that's how we say it in our vernacular, we come to Jesus, and we might spend some time studying his word, or we might, let's say, go to church, because that's what a lot of times we hear people say. We might be guilty of sinning. We feel like we know Jesus, and I think that that's a problem. I would say that Jesus believes that that's a problem if we don't get to know him. Well, let me talk just a little bit more about these people that I met that were kind of famous, or some that I maybe saw from a distance. They, every one of them, in a sense, depended on me, in a sense, for their livelihood as a consumer. Tommy Rich, he depended on me as well as others to go watch his wrestling matches or watch them on television. Yes, and the people, Monica Kaufman on the news, she depended on us. None of them people or those stars promised me a single thing that would benefit my life. There might have been a little bit of entertainment, might have been a piece of news that would benefit me momentarily, but it did not benefit me as far as eternity is concerned. The memory of those people, the sight of those people was fast and fading, and the acquaintance and having met them meant nothing to me after just a few minutes. My allegiance or affinity to them was not necessary. Well, what about Jesus? Jesus is his earthly name. There are many other people that were named Jesus in that time. But Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, they knew about Christ the Messiah and that there were promises through God's word that he was going to come and he was going to fulfill. Many of them thought that he might come at that moment and restore the kingdom from the Roman dominion to the Israelites or the Hebrews. But Jesus had a plan, and his plan was that of his father's. So when we say that we know Jesus, is it similar to my making the acquaintance of a few rich people who could promise me nothing, or is it was it something else? Is it something else when we say that we know Jesus? In a relationship, since we're talking about being acquainted with someone or knowing someone, a true relationship, since people say, I have a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, it requires time with him. It requires communication, and that through the Holy Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, he communes or communicates with us, and if we are wrong, we are to admit this, to confess this, and to repent of any sin that might be found in our life. It requires listening to the Master. It requires obedience. You say you know Jesus. Is there time at Jesus' feet? Is there communication with Jesus? Do we listen to Jesus when he tells us that there are things in our life that need to change, and that the fact is that we should obey him and listen to what he says about this evil, wicked world? A true relationship requires sacrifice. It requires some true concern about the one to whom we say we know. It requires interest in that other person's life. And I should add, before we really get to the scripture, that in this kind of relationship, the lesser should be subservient to the greater. Jesus, of course, is the greater. Now, tonight, what I wish to do is I wish to read a few texts that's going to, I hope, bring a point, help me bring a point out about this being familiar with, being too familiar with Jesus to know Christ. So I'm going to come from Matthew, I'm going to come from Luke, and I'm going to come from John, and then I'm going to ask a question and expound upon it. So if you will, please bear with me. And again, the subject is too familiar with Jesus to know Christ. So I'm going to come from Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 22nd and the 23rd verse. I'm going to read them, and then I'm going to go into Luke and read something else. Listen at this, what it says in Matthew 7 and 22. This is Jesus speaking. He had been giving a long discourse. If you were to look in your book or your Bible, you might see a lot of red. Well, I'm picking two verses from this. Listen to what Jesus says to a few people here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? I'm going to read the 23rd verse. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Listen to this. I, Jesus, the Master, the Messiah, the Son of God, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You get out of my face. The scripture doesn't say that, but I can put it there because I'm not deviating from what he's really saying. Get out of my presence. I didn't know you, though what you're telling me is you feel like you know me. You felt like you did things that would please me, that would make me welcome you into my kingdom because you did a few works. Let me read the next the next passage. I said, and hopefully you can follow me. That was Matthew. He said, depart from me. I didn't know you. Too familiar with Jesus to know Christ. So now I'm going to come from Luke, the 22nd chapter, and I'm going to read from the 54th verse through the 61st verse. Please bear with me so we can hopefully try and make a point here. I say Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 54th through the 61st verse. Do you have that? You want to read it for me, please?
Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house.
This particular passage right here, and so since we're just kind of bringing this in without transition, this is before Jesus is going to be crucified. He's been delivered by the mob that came to get him, and then this is right before, basically, he goes to Pilate. So this is where we are right now. Remember the title, Too Familiar with Jesus to Know Christ. In this particular passage of Scripture, we're looking at Peter at a point in his life. Okay, so would you read that again and read to the 61st verse?
Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
In this particular passage of Scripture, we see one of Christ's disciples who has been with him, been learning with him, spent time with him, had confessed that thou art the Christ, you are the Son of God. Another point, he had seen the greatness and the glory of Jesus, and he told Jesus, please depart from me. I am a sinful man. I don't need to even be in your presence. How is it that this man who had been in the presence of God, he is now denying Christ Jesus? He is denying the Messiah. Well, there's a difference between the passage that we looked at with Matthew and the passage that we looked right here with Luke, but I'm trying to get us to see something. As those who say that we are the children of God, that we should not be so familiar with the Scripture, or we think that we're so familiar with who Jesus is that we get complacent and we stop learning about what his requirements are for us, that we stop learning of his truth, because when we begin to be too familiar, we might not be careful and we might just turn our backs on his holiness. We might turn our backs on his truth. Peter here, he says, I know not him. Lord, have mercy. Has there been a point in your life, has there been a point in my life when we knew what the Holy Scripture had told us to do and we rejected it? Yes, probably it has. Yet we say we know Christ. We say we love Christ. We say that we are the children of God. Now, I'm hoping that this message does not seem strange, because if it does, all I can say is I'm sorry, but I'm going to continue with this message. I keep looking around at modern-day Christendom, and I'm looking at those who say that they have the Word of God. I'm listening to those who say that they have a personal relationship with God, and there seems to be no evidence of power in their life. There seems to be something that will keep us or them from obeying what Jesus love me, you keep my word. If you know me, if you really want to know me, you will obey me. It's not a mouth thing. Jesus said these people, when he was speaking of the Pharisees, they honor me with their mouth. In other words, they got the right rhetoric. They got the church phraseology. They are religious folk. They know the tradition. They even know scripture. They even sometimes in the synagogue, and they just say what they believe they're supposed to say, talking about the fathers that's gone on before us. But when I come up in the presence, when I start mentioning what true life is, when I say what my heavenly Father desires, when I say what my Father says is sin and you need to change this and you need to bow before me because it's my Father that caused me to be here in this capacity, they want to kill me. Too familiar with Jesus to know Christ. Now I'm going to go into this last passage of scripture for this particular moment, and we're going to look at another group of people or person who knew Christ. I want to look here from John the 14th chapter, the 6th through the 9th verse, and then we're going to try to comment on each one of these before we speak a little bit more. Can you read from John the 14th chapter, 6th through the 9th verse?
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
This is Jesus here before he was explaining to his disciples that he was going to go away, and he wanted them not to be afraid. And so he had said some things, and Thomas was asking him a question. You know, can you show us? We don't know the way, and can you tell us, and so forth. And so this is what Jesus is saying. So I want you to pick back up with this sixth verse, and I want you to listen at what he says to Philip when Philip asks him a question.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?
This particular scripture, we see again another difference, but I'm focusing on tonight, how is it that we know Christ, or do we really know him? Too familiar with Jesus to know Christ, too complacent with the scriptures that you feel like you can't grow anymore. In this particular passage, we understand that Jesus has spent time in the presence of the disciples, but when he begins to speak of his departure because he needed to leave so that God's, well, he's going to be crucified, but he was letting them know, I'm going to go away. And he's telling them that while I'm gone, basically, your hearts are probably going to be sorrowful, but I don't want you to be sorrowful because I'm going to leave you a comforter. My Holy Father, he's going to not leave you without someone to guide you, someone to encourage you, someone to remind you of the things that I have said, the Spirit of Truth. He says to Philip, how is it that I have been with you so long of a time and you don't know? Is it that you and I have spent time in the scriptures, but we don't know? I think there is something that we can learn from this, from the text, and I'm going to go back a little bit, from the first text in Matthew where Jesus said, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Those persons felt like they knew Jesus, but in that particular case, their hearts were wicked. He called them evildoers. Why would he refer to them as evildoers? It's because they had a form of knowledge. They had the knowledge, but they weren't wanting to change inside of their heart. That's what Jesus is saying, though the text doesn't say that explicitly. How else could it be that he would say, I never knew you? Just because you read the Bible, just because you pray, just because you go to church, if your heart is not right, if you're not truly in the presence of his Son, Jesus Christ, and obeying him and taking on his precepts and living like he said, live, you or I, if this is something that I'm guilty of, do not know Jesus Christ. You may say you
you have a personal relationship, but you don't have a true relationship because you're not taking up time with his word. You're not making the sacrifice to follow after him. You're not taking up your cross, as he said to you. Now you say, well, he was talking to those people. And in the other passage, he was talking to the disciples. Let me let you know something. When he wrote that to the disciples later on in the 17th chapter of John, he prayed a prayer for those that would believe later on. The scriptures fit us as well. The precept is there that we need to be in the presence of Jesus. You know what? People watch soap operas so long enough, they feel like they know the characters, but they won't give God at all that amount of time. The first passage that we talked about, those people had an evil heart. This contrasts to the second passage a little bit, where in Luke we see that Peter denies Jesus. Why did Peter deny Jesus? He was weak and he was scared and he had a lack of conviction. But the thing is that Peter's life after the resurrection of Christ, well, first of all, before we mention that, Peter went out and he wept sore and bitterly. When Jesus looked at him, I just can't even really imagine what must have pierced through his heart to know that Jesus had told him what he was going to do, and now he realized that I have betrayed you. I cut off somebody's ear, and I thought that was good enough. I was ready to fight, but Jesus was like, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for your allegiance. I'm looking for your obedience. I need you to follow me in that capacity. Peter, you've been with me. You know me a little bit, but I need you to keep learning of me. I need you to take my yoke upon you and learn, 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 because what I got to give you will transform your life. What I got to give you will usher you into the kingdom of God, and you're going to need these words because they're spirit and they're life. Peter, you don't really know me yet. You know a little bit, but you need to follow on in this thing that I'm telling you about. Speaking truth. We need to keep seeking the truth, because the truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Don't go mixing some philosophy with it from what you might learn out of a textbook. Don't go mixing some other guru stuff with this. Don't mix your own emotion and feelings with this. You better watch your own logic. It will send you to hell. I say your own logic will send you to hell, claiming that you know Jesus. You might know his name, but do you know him? Is he really your personal Lord and Savior? He will save you from sin. He will save you from damnation. He will save you from yourself. He will save me and usher me in so that I can have joy in the presence of the Lord, even before he comes back. Because to know Jesus is, even in this time, joy, joy, joy in his presence. Do you know Jesus? We get too familiar with the routines of what we know we're supposed to do. I'm not saying stop those things, but open up your heart. We sing that song, open the eyes of my heart. I want to know you. Is it true? We need to start examining, if we're not examined, to see whether we're really in the faith. Stop singing songs if they're lies when you sing them. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Get down and on your knees and be subservient to Jesus Christ. You know, I find, and I didn't write this down, but I find that in the scriptures, it would seem that those who weren't Jews or Hebrews, it would seem that they would know a little bit more about Jesus or appreciate him when he was in their presence. Just allow me to deviate just for a second. When Jesus was talking to that Samaritan woman who had the mixed blood, and there was issues between those ethnic groups, the pure Jews and those Samaritans, she said, "Art thou the Christ?" And I just, I'm like, wow, here she is asking him about where they were to worship. But she knew something about the Messiah supposed to come. We know the Messiah is supposed to come. But she had the information, but her life wasn't changing. Do we have information about Jesus and our life is not changing? If that's the case, we don't know Christ. He said, every time you speak these things to make me feel bad. Well, you know what? The gospel ought to make us feel bad about our wretched selves, but it's not going to just put us down like that. It will when we take upon the name of Jesus Christ and trust and obey, and the Spirit comes in and makes changes because we are obedient, because we resist Satan, then it can lift us up, not for us, but for His glory, and we can have joy. We can be happy and have a freedom inside. Lord have mercy, we're not finished yet. So Peter, a little different than the text when we looked in Matthew, those were evil, but I said Peter, when Christ came back on the scene, he didn't just stay away from Christ. Christ asked him somewhere toward the end of the Gospel of John, Peter, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
He asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And I don't know if there's a correlation, but it seems like there is one. Peter denied him three times,
mm-hmm.
and then Christ asked him, do you love me? Feed my lamb, feed my sheep, Peter. Peter got upset, but Peter knew that he would have to change. Lord have mercy, when you look down in Acts and you read, Peter was a man that was bold for the Lord. He was bold for him. He knew Christ. The last section that we looked up to this point, Philip asked Jesus, or Jesus asked Philip the question, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Now, I think Philip here, it seems, I think he still needed to learn of God. I don't see any wickedness right here. I just see a man who's still ignorant, and that was a part of the discipleship. That was a part of the following him, and the part that we need to follow Christ is because there's some things that we're still ignorant about, but he wants us to continue on in him. The Bible says that the path of the just is as a shining light, and it grows brighter and brighter to the perfect day. We ought to continue growing in Christ. He's going to do is he's going to prune, because when he's got some branches and it's productive, he's got to take off some things that's going to cause some problems. He got to get some sin out of our lives. He got to get lying all of the sin. That's what he wants to do. Then we got to be subservient. So I say, Philip here, it's like Jesus, it doesn't seem like he's really chiding him, but he's saying something to him. And the message, I believe, for us is, don't get so comfortable with me, Philip. It looked like you ought to know this. But I think Christ took those opportunities to help them understand greater things. Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. In knowing Jesus Christ, since we say we know him, we know God the Father. That's what God wants us to know. Lord, have mercy. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Some of us would be scared if Christ came back right now. Some of us don't even want him to come back. Why is that? Oh, Lord, have mercy. So listen to this. I think there's a grave danger in feeling satisfied or feeling like we know him. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. When we know that we're spending time with him and he's helping us and he's strengthening us, and we can see that there's a joy in our life, and that when that moment of temptation comes, or when that moment where we want to do something that's outside of his will comes, and we see that we are willing to make the sacrifice to trust, when we see that we are willing to obey, we can know that we're in his grace. We can know that we're of the family of God. We can know that then we have a true relationship with him. Now, Christ, unlike the famous people that I mentioned before, at least they were locally famous. I mentioned Monica Kaufman, Tommy Rich, and then a few autographs. I said they did nothing for me. Well, let's make the distinction. I owe Christ my allegiance. I didn't owe them my allegiance at all. And Christ will not be a fading memory, whether I treat him like that or not. He is more than just a historical figure. He was before history. He is during history. He is after history. He created history. He's not just like those people who sometimes we lift up in our little society. He does not depend on me as those people depended on us for our consumer support. He does not depend on me or any of us for any livelihood or existence. The contrary is true. We depend on him. Those people promised me nothing that I mentioned before, but Christ has promised us much. One of the things that he promised, and we just read it a little bit from the 14th chapter, he promised the Holy Spirit to his disciples. We are the ones who will benefit from that Holy Spirit as well. Yes, but must know him to have this Holy Spirit. So, what are you talking about the Holy Spirit now? The Holy Spirit was to act in behalf of Jesus Christ. Jesus had told them, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, because he knew that they were going to be sad because he was gone. Well, I want to look at a few more scriptures to see what this Holy Spirit was to do. To know Christ, we said, was to know the Father. To know Christ is to have communion with the Holy Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit, because Christ is not walking with us physically, we still, in a sense, we still have the essence of who Christ is. We have the essence of who God is, because they represent and are truth. And if we don't know Jesus Christ, how can we obey the Holy Spirit? And we need the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in this world, because it's getting worse and worse and worse. And mercy. So he promised them something. I said, those people before, they didn't promise me anything. Maybe a little something on television, but what is that? When Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, he's promising the person who would act in his behalf once he had gone off the scene. Still in heaven, but once he'd gone off the scene. So I want us to look at a few verses, a few more verses in the 14th chapter. Dree, would you read for me John 14, 16 through 18? This is still talking about the Comforter here. Would you read this?
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
He said that this Comforter is to abide with them forever. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. Now, this is what it seems to me. People who say that they have a personal relationship or they know Christ, it seems that the Comforter has left some of these people. What, it's just an outright rejection of him telling us or reminding us what Christ said is sin, what the Word of God said is sin. If Christ has said that he will abide with forever, then what's the problem? I don't think the problem is with Christ. I think the problem is with people. The problem is with people. They're too familiar because they sing a few songs, or because they put a little bit of money in the offering plate, or because they listen to a few people who they've esteemed more than they've esteemed to the Word of God. Why is that? You got a personal relationship with what you think Jesus ought to be. Now, to know Jesus is to trust him. To know Jesus, to know Christ, is to obey him. To know Christ is to understand or continue growing in his word. What's the next verse say?
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
He says that the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. Now, if we have a problem with the Holy Spirit, we got a problem with Jesus. We got a problem with Christ. Again, we quoted earlier, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He says the Spirit will be with them forever. But notice something. Jesus said that he told Philip that when you know me, you know the Father. Well, Jesus is telling him he's going to go away, but the Holy Spirit is coming. But Jesus said, I will come to you. And it seems like he's saying he's going to come to you before his second event, Advent. But look at the Spirit of truth. If you've got the Spirit of truth, you've got God. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got Jesus. You've got Christ. We have got to be subservient and obedient to the holy will of God. And well, how are you making this connection? You're too familiar with Christ that you don't know, I mean, Jesus, that you don't know Christ, you can't know the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that the world would not receive him. Have we received the Holy Spirit since we believe? And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about the true Holy Spirit that is inside of us to remind us of what thus saith the Lord, and to empower us through his holy will to make a difference, but to have a light that will reflect the Son of God and his brightness and his righteousness. Lord have mercy. Are we there yet? Now, this Holy Spirit, when he was talking to his disciples, it was needed for a reason. It was needed to also encourage them, because when he left the scene, they were going to have a persecution. So I want to skip now to the 16th chapter, and as we get ready to kind of close out, there's a few more verses that I want to talk about, and then hopefully we can open up for discussion. John, the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, 7 through the 14th verses. If you get a chance, read John 14, read John 15, read John 16 and 17, and just read them over and over and over and see what Christ is saying about the Holy Spirit. See what Christ is saying about joy. See what Christ is trying to get them to understand. I say we need to know Christ, and we know Christ and we trust him. Then when the Holy Spirit comes and acts in his behalf, because he's no longer walking the face of the earth, there'll be no problem to be subservient to the Holy Spirit. And guess what? We need him. We need that Holy Spirit. We need him to please God. Would you start at the 7th verse and read through the 14th verse, please?
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come.
14.
He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
Jesus let them know right here that I've got to depart. Because, again, I'm going to fulfill the will of my Heavenly Father. And it is necessary that I depart because I must keep his holy word. I must keep his will. But when I'm gone, the Comforter is going to come. Do you want me to stay and the Comforter not come? Do you want it to be that the Lord's will not be performed? The Holy Spirit reproves this world of sin. And this is the thing that we still have issues with sometimes. I say Jesus was... He said he will prune those vines that are connected to him so that they can be more fruitful. He's got to cut things out of our lives. We should be grateful about it, but that's the relationship with him so that we can grow, so that we can be edified, so that we can truly represent him, so that he can be inside of us. But we can't expect the Holy Spirit to work if we don't truly know Jesus. If we're not in his word, it's almost like an oxymoron. These things cannot be. I ask us the question, are we too familiar with Jesus to know Christ? Are we too familiar with Jesus to know the Holy Spirit? They're not going to work in opposition to each other. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will speak what I'm telling him to say, basically. He's going to remind you of the things that I have said. He will help you have conviction in heart and mind. The world has a rhetoric that they know Christ, so it's a portion of the world, but when it comes down to it, is it going to be the truth? Is it going to be just an honoring with the lips or not? Now, Jesus was speaking to his disciples here, and he let them know that he had to leave, and I want to just look at a few more verses here before we close out. He was telling them that they would need that Holy Spirit. And I'm going to look here at the 25th verse through the 33rd verse. He had told them just before these verses here that they would be sorrowful and they would be like weeping and they would be lamenting. And the world would rejoice because he was gone, because they were ready to get rid of him. But there was going to be a time that was coming on the world, and it was going to be so painful. Now, they would need his strength. He said to them that it would be like a woman when she's getting ready to give birth. I've witnessed it. I can't tell you from experience. Praise the Lord. But the woman often, when she has drugs or God blesses her for the moment to not have any pain, typically we understand that there is great pain. While Jesus said, I'm away and this world gets wicked, you're going to have sorrow. And it's going to be like you wish that it was over with, but when I come back, it's going to be like that sorrow that you had because you were able to be kept by the Holy Spirit, because you really knew me, because you were in my presence, because you obeyed. It's going to be all that sorrow. It's going to be like it didn't happen. You're going to be wonderfully blessed. You will have joy because you remained in my will. Lord, have mercy. So there's a point where Jesus says, I'm not going to speak to you anymore in parables. So I want to pick up here, and I want to look at the the 27th verse, and we're going to read through the end of this chapter. This is what Jesus says: "For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." Now, looking at that word "believe," and so a lot of people, when they believe, that to them is a mental thing. That to them means that they know Christ. It should be more than that. Again, I say it, it's about sacrificing, it's about obedience, it's about true interest in the things of God. So right here, they're telling Jesus, Jesus is telling them, "You have believed. That's a good thing." But listen at what it says even further down. "I came forth from the Father, and I come into the world again. I leave the world, and I go to the Father." Listen to what his disciples say. "His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb." You're not speaking in these parables. "Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou came forth from God." Now they're saying that they believe. Now, I say, are you too familiar to know Christ? Now, we've looked at a passage in Matthew where people had wicked hearts. They said they knew Christ. Christ said, "I never knew you." We looked at Peter where he was weak, and then he denied that he knew Christ, but he came back. I believe he repented, and he was able to be a strong spokesman and person for the Lord. We looked at Philip, who was still growing, but Jesus said, "You didn't know me." He knew Jesus, but he needed to continue in his growth. Jesus right here is saying, you believe, and there's a certain aspect that you know about me, but there's going to be some more that you need to learn. Don't be too familiar with Christ that you don't know him. We must continue to grow. We must continue to understand. He's not a stagnant son of God. But because of the cares of this world, sometimes that's how we'll make it. Do we really have a relation? Now, I say Jesus said they believed, and now they're saying that they believe, but listen at what it says. Going back to the 34th verse, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" He said that they believed. In the 27th verse, they said that they believed. In the 30th verse, Jesus is now asking them, "Do you now believe?" Listen to what he says. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." You believe what I'm saying, but you're still going to be tried. In your moment of testing, will you remain with me? Do you know me when it gets tough like that? Jesus said, you're going to be scattered. And we know that when he was crucified, they all scattered. But thank the Lord that when they didn't scatter to the point that they didn't come back, that he was unable to affect them. We know that they were mighty men of God. You and I must believe on. We must believe on. We must continue to learn of him if we really are to know him. Because we could turn our backs on him. I say, yes, we can. We could turn our backs on him, just like they did when he said they're going to be scattered. But they didn't turn on their backs on him, and that they did not come back, and because he had told them so much truth. Last verse, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So even though he says that they're going to be scattered, he chose those 12 men because I believe he knew that they would be faithful. Well, one of them wasn't faithful. He turned his back on them. But the other 11, look at them. Will we be like that? The purpose of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of knowing Christ, is to have a joy because he promises us eternal life. He's not just some figure that we say, well, I met this person, I got an autograph, or just to say, okay, when you pick up the Bible and you spend a little time with it, you know, he demands something. Now, I say those people, those famous people, locally famous people that I met, they didn't promise me anything, and they didn't demand anything of me, really. Well, it's different when you know Jesus. He has a demand. He's the Son of God. He does not want us to be so familiar with him in that we do some of the things that we know we're supposed to do, and that's a part of this relationship. The heart should be ready to receive. We need time with him. That might mean some quiet. It doesn't might mean. It means there's some quiet time with him. Letting his holy word wash these hearts, in some cases strip these hearts down. We have to bow down before him. Let's not say we have a relationship with him if it's not true. Because he demands something. He's got promises. And the promises, there are promises of salvation. There's promises of damnation. He's got promises. Are we going to be like many in the world, or what we say is the modern-day church? They have a relationship. And I'm not saying that everybody that says that, I'm not saying that they're wrong. if they're truly in his presence and being subservient and obedient to his will. But I believe that sometimes people are too familiar with Jesus to know Christ. They honor with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. This Holy Spirit, we can't have him if we don't trust and obey, believe Jesus. Father, I'm asking that you will give us strength to continue to grow in you, and where we might be stubborn or where we are stubborn, please help us in those areas, because we realize that you are coming back for your bride. We want to be found faithful. It's a scary thing to think that you might tell us that you never knew us while we spent time in your word, while we've listened to sermons, while we maybe prepared lessons. Lord, help us, help us, help us. There's so many things that compete for our time, but we want to be found faithful to you. We want that joy. We thank you for the joy that we have, but you require things of us, Lord. We thank you because it's in your provision, dear Lord, that you've told us what to expect and how to live. We thank you, Lord. Help us to be resolved to trust you and to obey you, that we will know you. We will know the Father. We will know the Holy Spirit. I ask that you bless us, dear God, and help us, dear Lord, to grow and trust you and be obedient to you. From now until the time that you call us home, I ask these things in your Son Jesus'